Hello and welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. In today's conversation, I am speaking with Kelly Mason, mindset mentor, hairdresser, Ashtanga queen, mama, and creator of the Limitless Hairdresser, a platform for hairdressers to discover and create more magic within their limitlessness. Thank you for joining me today. I hope you enjoy this conversation as much as I did. Hello and welcome to the India Dunn and Company podcast. And today's conversation is with Kelly Mason. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us today.
Well, thank you, India, for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you further and see where this takes us today.
I am too. I want to say that I have great respect and also a combination of intimidation as a result of your
No, seriously.
It's just that you're that super high functioning, like getting shit done, girl. And I admire it, but it also is one of those like, okay, you know, can you meet that energy? And I am actually, I'm relieved to hear that you're taking 2019 a little slower. So maybe I can meet you where you're at.
You know, we were talking about our astrology signs and stuff. I can thank my Capricorn nature for that. My birthday's in 2 days. So I'm like full blown in it. And, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. It's super fun. I live my life in a pretty rapid manifestation mode, which I love because I love life and it's so much fun to just create and connect. But yeah, definitely 2019 is all about surrender and allowing and not resisting when I'm being called to slow. So yeah.
Awesome.
I'll slow down for you.
Thank you. I know you just like raced in the door and landed and got right on this call. So
my poor computer. Yep.
Right before we got on, your computer died right before my eyes almost.
Death by a fluorite point.
Oh,
literally.
God. Ouch.
It's so funny. But you know what? It's just another one of those signs, right? Slow the F down, Kelly. It's getting up too fast. And my crystal just took a stab at my computer screen. So,
wow.
If that's not a sign, I don't know what is.
I don't either. What does fluorite do? And like, what is it mostly for?
It's very grounding.
Interesting.
So, I tend to spend a lot of my life, even though I'm a Capricorn, we're an earth sign, so we tend to be very, you know, earthy in nature, but I am just always have so much energy and I'm so high all the time, like in my upper world here, that sometimes I have a hard time just like staying here on planet Earth. I'm like in Kelly world.
right.
So
the fluorite helps with the grounding.
Yeah, I tend to hold on to. I have a big point of fluorite. I tend to hold on to that a lot when I'm feeling really anxious, or like I'm really not being able to focus or keep a stream of thought, and I'm like idea. So I tend to balance it with some amethyst too. So that opens up the uppers. So I'm very polarized. So I'm either like way up here or I'm like way down here. So I like the combination of both of the extremes.
Yeah. Getting some harmony in there as we talked about before. So I would love it. You know, I know that we have probably some matching listeners as a result of being similarly motivated and similarly out in the industry, you know, promoting what we feel is necessary for needed change in our industry. But I would love it if you would tell the listeners, you know, where you're at, what you're up to, and
who you are on this planet right now.
Well, I am, first and foremost, this is taking me a while to figure out because people would ask me, like, who are you? And I'd be like, I mean, I'm Kelly, but what does that mean? You know, I'm a mom. That's just a role. I'm a hairdresser. That's just a role. And at the core of it, I'm the light and my nature is love. And I have to hang on to that and remind myself all the time.
Ditto.
But right now, the fun things that I have going on, I'm a hairdresser. I've been doing hair for, oh my gosh, I guess counting beauty school, that counts. Like, we did hair then.
Oh, so yeah.
Like 12 years. I've been licensed for almost 11. And I have been in education in the technical world for about 8 of those years. And I used to work for a company called Surface Hair Care, an organic vegan line out of Canada. And I really found a passion for sharing with my peers and connecting with other hairdressers about 2 years in being a hairdresser. And since that kind of really sparked my passion, I now am on my own being independent. So I started a blog about a year ago, a little over a year ago, and I started focusing on, like, really figuring out, it was kind of like a self journey, you know, as I've been on a spiritual path for a while now. And then my brand kind of just started consuming that. And I was, there's not really any separation now.
Right.
Everything that I go through, it's like very transparent. And I've been sharing a lot of that with my fellow hairdressers. I saw a huge need being out there in the field, in salons and in schools, at hair shows and stuff, that so many people were just like me and having the same kind of struggles that I was having, which tended to circle a lot around anxiety, depression, stress, like you're talking about burnout. And you kind of reach this place where you're like, do I even do this anymore? Is this even worth it? Like, how long can I do this? And it just made me feel so sad. It made me feel so sad that in the career that we all chose and found because we felt like we belonged, we started to get really disconnected at some point.
Right.
From our real purpose. And the more I talked to people and the more I kept connecting, because I'm very extroverted, if you haven't been able to tell. I like to, like, when people, I meet so many hairdressers, like, I'm an introvert, but I can be social. I'm a social introvert. And I'm like, I think I'm just plain extrovert.
Exaggerated extrovert.
I'm like way out there. I love energy. I love connecting with people. I love being in groups. I love being at, like, a huge event. I love concerts. So yeah, I love people. And yeah, so I started this podcast, Limitless Hairdresser. And it's really funny. I didn't ever think I would have a podcast. I didn't even really think that that would translate in our industry. I mean, it's like, we're so visual.
Okay.
Right. And I was working with a coach of mine. And I was going to guest write a blog for them, for the Destroy the Hairdresser, if you've heard of them before.
Yes. Yes.
And David was my coach for about 9 months. And he told me to, if I wanted to write a guest blog. And he was like, well, what are you gonna write it about? And I was like, I don't know. By the way, those used to be my famous last words. I don't know. My husband told me that I should have a shirt that says, I don't know. And you will not find me saying that unless I literally am like, I don't know what direction we're going or something like that. But I've definitely changed that habit.
Yeah.
He said, well, what are you gonna write it about? And I'm like, I don't know. He's like, well, what do you want? What do you even want to be? You know, he's getting a little sassy with me, and I'm like, oh, I love you. I hate you. I love you. I hate you. Because that's how we are with our mentors.
Of course. Of course.
That's what we take. And I was like, I just want to be limitless. I want to be a limitless hairdresser. I want to be able to do whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want, because that's what I want. Okay. And he's like, okay, I read about that.
Nice.
And the blog was terrible. I wrote it out of that angst because I was like frustrated with, you know, I'll show you. All right. And so it wasn't from a like very expanded place, but it really got things out of my mind. And that really sparked something for me. And I wrote it and called it Limitless Hairdresser. And that is how Limitless Hairdresser really was born, because it was just an idea about what our opportunities really are. And and it was kind of my like self proclamation, like, this is what we deserve and this is how we can be. And yeah, that was how Limitless Hairdresser was born. So now I'm just sharing mindfulness tips, meditation, because that's my real true passion. Besides doing hair and health, wellness, and just trying to bring the industry together. And it's led me to so many amazing people like you.
Ditto.
So yeah, just really finding what is important to me is what I'm all about right now. 2019, just connecting and only aligning with things that are of core value to me. Yeah.
And when you talk about, you know, how an idea blossomed into what it is now, you know, what, I mean, when you think about your personality, obviously I look at you from the outside looking in and I think about how, you know, devotion, time, intention, I mean, what does it look like when you have, you know, multiple positions in your life where you are spreading your time out, you know, higher functioning people tend to be able to do many different things at once, but how long did it really take you to put all of this into a physical action that you could, you know, take out into the world?
Okay. So I didn't, this is just the funniest thing about when you start to find your flow. Everyone just assumes that you're always have been in the flow.
Right. You know? Exactly. That's like, what I wanted you to say.
You know, they're like, you have it all. Oh my God. I'm so, I wish I could do that. And I'm guilty of the same thing. I've done that to people that I look up to all the time, you know, or you look at celebrities that you think have it all and you're just like, oh my God, I wish I had that. Or I wish I could do that. But you know, God, I feel like it's a constant evolution.
Definitely.
And it's always a practice.
Yeah.
It's like hardcore dedication all the time to the end result, which for me, the end result is equanimity. That's what I'm always seeking. That's what my goal always is to be unaffected by the rest of the world around me and to have enough awareness and my consciousness to be expanded enough that I have all of the power, that I have all of the power to choose how I want to feel, what I want to do, who I want to work with, where I want to go, what kind of money I want to have, what kind of life I want to live. And that at the end of the day, that's always the goal. So to kind of, I guess, sum up how I've been operating right now, I created a filter. And this is something I haven't really shared very deeply. So this is really fun. Thank you for allowing me this space. For some reason, it's like way easier to talk about it on your podcast than it is mine.
That's awesome. Yes.
I'm like, I'm just going to go over here and share all my secrets.
Go girl, go.
Yeah. But I went through some really hard business endeavors in my past, you know, 12 years of being a hairdresser. You know, we are our own business at the end of the day. If you're a commission stylist, if you're a booth renter, if you're a suite renter, if you're an educator, whatever your path is, you are always representing yourself.
Yes.
And I had a really hard time because I am a Capricorn and I am very driven. I'm very motivated by success, physically and spiritually. And I'm very goal oriented. So I always have something I'm trying to reach. When I was in college and in high school, I used to be a competitive wakeboarder.
Whoa. And
yeah. I bet you didn't know that.
No.
Yeah. And I used to live in Texas and I was a competitive wakeboarder.
Oh my gosh.
At this place called the Texas Ski Ranch. And it's like a cable park. So you go around a cable and you hit like 6 foot, 10 foot ramps and rails. Oh my
God.
Stuff.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm from Texas.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Yes.
So I went to school at Texas State for 2 years until I became a hairdresser, which we can talk about that later. That's fun. So I was competitive wakeboarder. There wasn't many women wakeboarders. So I was competing with mostly like men, like grown men and like juniors, so like teenage boys.
Wow.
And a few girls. There was a few really kick-ass chicks that were out there. But I always had like a goal in mind, whether that was to do a 540 off of a box or do like a roll to revert off of a kicker. You know, I always had that like end result in mind, and I would relentlessly try, fall, almost kill myself, get back up, try again until I would land it. And the feeling of accomplishment was something that I got like addicted to.
Mm-hmm.
Even from something like that. And I thought I was going to be a professional wakeboarder. I also thought I was going to be a singer in a rock band, you know, like all those kind of things. I never wanted a real job.
Mm-mm.
Like, no, my daughter's never. Like, I want to be a vet. I was like, I want to just have fun. So
I want to have fun and famous.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That's funny. Cause fame, oh gosh, such a funny word.
It is, isn't it?
But, I think that for me, the idea at a young age that I wanted to be famous was correlating with success.
Yes. And limitlessness.
Limitlessness. Like, I'm like, okay, if I'm famous, like I am doing anything, like I can do mm-hmm. anything. And, I feel like that's very misconstrued, but,
I feel you.
Yeah. So the filter that I run myself through now to get to the end result is, a product of, you know, these wakeboarding experiences where I just failed and I tried again and eventually I quit. I moved back to Michigan and there's not as much accessibility here because mm-hmm. we have winter, mm-hmm. but now I snowboard. So that's fun.
Wow.
I have a salon, so I've had that for 5 years. It has gone through many phases. I had a booth rental salon that didn't work out. I decided that I was going to do a commission salon because that's what everyone who's successful was doing that I looked mm-hmm. up to. So mm-hmm. I tried, even though I'm like, what the hell? No, mm-mm. It was not for me.
Right.
It just didn't fit my personality. And so I tried that and we were actually really successful. Like we were profiting the first year. Everyone loved working there, but it just like didn't work for me. Because I didn't have some things in alignment. I wasn't mm-hmm. doing it for the end result. I was doing it because I thought I should.
Right.
Which never leads to the end result.
No, it does not. It sure doesn't.
It does not. And then I had a business partner that I worked with. And we created an education company. And a lot of people don't know this. It's really funny. But I had an education company with a business partner called PIP University, Positively Impacting People.
Mm.
And she's still doing really well and has a little bit different focus. But we realized as we were developing this education company that our visions, her name's Heather. She's got a massive vision as well. And they just weren't in complete alignment. Mm-hmm. And I had to learn that through, you know, partnering and going through the whole pause process of having a business together to really realize again, okay, this isn't right either. And so during that time when we were going our own way, I came up with in this really deep meditation, the four essentials to living your dream life. And it was just something that, you know, it's hard to explain how some of these things come to, but I just got really quiet and I was just really tired. I was tired of trying and failing. even though it seemed successful, and I still wasn't reaching my goal of equanimity. I still wasn't feeling like I was in the flow. And so I was like, I cannot do it again. Like, I physically can't get myself to this really high level just to go all the way back down to the bottom and start over again. Like, I was so exhausted. My husband was like, I think you should just quit everything. You need to just not just
stop.
You just need to stop.
Yeah.
Because I had these big dreams. Like, within each thing I was achieving, I had a massive dream.
Yeah.
And that was my, where I started to realize and uncover these things that I was missing. Because I was like, there's got to be a formula for this. Like, not something that is going to be exactly the same for everyone, but something that is a core principle that every time somebody is successful and they're really happy and they find that sweet spot, there's got to be something that they all do that is similar.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found that to be was intention, dedication, perseverance, and passion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote that down. I like, all of a sudden I was just like purging onto paper, like these four words. I was like, oh my God, these four words. And I started talking about to my family and to my husband, my poor husband. He hears all
of
this.
Of course. Good.
You know that it's authentic because my husband has like no boundaries with this. He basically could probably teach every one of my classes. He could probably write my blog at this point.
That's awesome.
But yeah, I found it to be true that these four things, in order for me to have any kind of happiness with a business or anything in my life, really, these four things had to align.
Yeah.
So that's my filter that I run everything through now. When I decided to do a podcast, I sat down with my Manifest Your Dream Life workbook, which is the four essentials, and I went through it with the idea of the podcast.
Mm.
And every single thing matched up. And I was okay with committing to the hard stuff. I was okay with working through the things that weren't going to go right. I was willing to sacrifice to make it happen. And so I knew that at the end of the day, it was going to be perfect. And even if it did fail, or even if I did choose to not do it, I wouldn't feel the heaviness that I had felt in the past.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have been a failure.
Right.
It would have been an adventure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It would be just another thing in my book, which all the other things are just another thing in my book, but they just felt so much more painful. Like, really painful.
Well, and just, you know, out of like, you know, how I work and my little brain is going, like, so in the midst of that, like, kind of, you know, the chaos and evolution is always happening when we're evolving. You know, if we're stagnant, then it's not happening. But the chaos is the part that's uncomfortable, you know, and as you're going through these uncomfortable situations, what were you doing to help yourself or to not lose that kind of hope or faith or the passion that was underlying, you know, all the motivation?
A lot of meditating.
Yeah.
Really, that's been... doing hair and meditation and probably yoga, which I think yoga and meditation are very similar.
Totally.
Have been the things that really have saved my life. And without that, I don't even know, like, I would just be a brain.
Right.
I don't even think I would be connected with myself, my higher self, like my true self, the light and love, Kelly, if I didn't have that. I would just be like a body. I would just be like a robot. And that is something that I used to be. Mm. And I refuse to ever go back to being that.
Okay. That's definitely something I was going to ask, because it sounds like you have experienced that. And that's maybe why you're so tenacious in your desire for that limitlessness, you know, and not ever wanting to go back to being that, just following orders, just taking direction, just doing what everybody else is doing. Like, there's just no space for that in your life anymore.
No. I've always been a bit of a rebel too. So, but yeah, having kids too really changed me.
Yeah, as it should.
Yeah.
You know, I
mean, you kind of are forced to.
Yeah, totally.
But it changed me in ways that, I mean, I never, when, if my kids ever hear this, I love you guys, but I didn't used to want to have kids. I didn't used to want to get married.
Wow.
I didn't want to settle down. I was running away.
Okay.
Always.
Okay.
And in some ways, you know, meeting my husband and it changed my whole life. He'll love that. But it really did. Like, meeting my husband really changed my life because he showed me so much. He's a Cancer, so he's like very compassionate and sweet and just never judged me. And being how I am, I always judge myself very harshly. It's probably why I'm really driven.
Right.
Like, nothing is ever good enough until it's good enough in my book.
Right.
And he would be like, "You're insane. Like, who even has those aspirations? Are you striving for perfection? Yeah. Like,
whose
what?
Rule book are you following?"
Right. So even just having him around has helped to just soften me so much.
Is there something within the relationship too? Like, I'm always fascinated to hear about partnerships, you know, that really aid in a female being able to become fully empowered.
Mm-hmm. You know, he allows me to, but also, like, we've become like each other's greatest teacher, I think.
That's awesome.
And it's something that is not easy. That's why probably so many people end up giving up on the connection, because it's hard. It really is hard. But at a certain point, I opened up to, on my own, you know, journey. And this is something that I think that it's hard to explain, but we have to focus on ourselves first in order to make anything else work. Whatever is good for us will ultimately be good for everyone else. And if the person really does love you, they'll have the patience to allow you to go through whatever you need to go through so that you can come out on the other side better. And I mean, trust me, there's been times where he's just like, "You're absolutely insane. And I don't even know about this." And I'm like, "Trust me, it'll make sense in like a month." But I mean, he lets me be me.
Yeah.
And when you're so open around other people and you can really be our authentic self, like weird, crazy, strange, all of it,
vulnerable,
very vulnerable, I feel like that helps to empower you tremendously. Like, he let me go to Thailand for 16 days this last year, and like, that was huge.
So huge.
But also it was just something I knew I needed to do for me so that I could be good for them,
right?
Because I just was really up in my head, and I needed space. Like, I needed to
lots
go
of space.
24 hours on a flight space. Like, I just really did. And for the first time, it was really interesting. I didn't feel like I was running away from anything.
Wow.
I felt like I really was following my heart, and I wasn't judging myself for it.
That's amazing.
I didn't have mom guilt.
Yeah.
I didn't have any shame. I didn't feel bad about it at all, even though everyone around me was like, "Oh my gosh,
what are you doing?
You're leaving your kids for that long? How could you do that?" And I'm like, "Oh, honey, you'll be there one time, you know, you'll get there." But it's just really interesting that, you know, as we open up, you know, I've done a lot of heart work.
Yeah.
And that has been, very grounding for me. He's like my fluorite point, except he doesn't break my computer.
Oh, you had to remember that part.
Yep.
I love thinking about, you know, our partnerships really holding, you know, being that container for us to be who we are. And mm-hmm. so that we can continue to investigate, be curious and ask the questions and, you know, step out on a limb, get to the edge and find out, do the thing. Mm-hmm. And know, because I don't know what your childhood was like, but mine was not always safe. And so there was not a lot of other, there wasn't actually any parenting going on sometimes. So I was, you know, there was no someone saying, I got you, you know, mm-hmm. take the jump, leap, mm-hmm. you're safe, I got you. So getting into a partnership, and I'm so grateful that, you know, it sounds like you have kind of a similar situation where I have someone who says, I got this, I'm going to mm-hmm. hold this, you know, container for you, and you just keep expanding. Mm-hmm. And how powerful that is as a woman who has really discovered what it's like to be actualized. Mm-hmm. Because there's, you know, this is the time. Like, if not now, when, man?
Yeah.
When are you going to do it? Because it's now.
This is definitely the time for women.
Yes.
You know, my mom was pretty much a stay-at-home mom. And as I started having this entrepreneurial spirit, she was so confused. She's like, but what about the kids? You know, you, what about dinner? Like, what about the house? I was like, I'll get a cleaning lady. I'll get a nanny. I'll work opposite shifts. Like, she's like, but what about this? I'm like, I will do whatever it takes to do what makes me feel good. And not that there's anything wrong with being a stay-at-home mom. I think being a stay-at-home mom is probably one of the hardest things to do.
No shit.
Like, it's so much work. I've stayed home for like 3 days in a row with my kids, and I was like, oh my God, this is so much work. Somebody, who's going to do the dishes?
Who's going to cook?
Yeah, what is this? Why is the house so messy?
I know.
Or I'll spend the whole day just like picking up after them, and I'm like, I'm exhausted. I'm done. But, you know, it took a lot of me, like, not – life is, for me, has just been eliminating judgment and mm-hmm. finding compassion mm-hmm. and empathizing. Because for me, like, and when I had staff, this really, staff at my salon, this really came up for me a lot, because the hairdressers that I had hired and that I was putting through my training program, they love me and I love them so much. But part of them would be so intimidated by me, even though they love me. And I'm like, okay, you know, what's up, guys? Or individually, you know, on one-on-ones, I'd be like, what's going on? They're like, I just feel like you have such high expectations and that I just can't, like, even like you said at the beginning of this podcast, like, I feel like I can't meet you where you are. And I'm like, you don't have to. You don't have to mm-hmm. meet anyone where anyone is. You just have to go at your own pace and know that your journey is not going to be like anyone else's. You can't compare it. You just can't. Mm. And I spent a lot of time in my life doing that until I realized that it leads to nowhere.
Yeah, me too.
You're just going to feel constant disappointment and constant judgment on yourself for not being good enough.
Yeah.
Because there's always going to be somebody who does a better haircut. There's always going to be somebody who does a better balayage, who's a better photographer, who seems to be a better mom, whatever. Like, you're never going to be able to live up to this crazy, imaginary, perfect person that doesn't exist.
Like, well, and then this, you know, an image that we create for each other to look at online too, you know, it's mm-hmm. like, and she's not, you know, whoever this is that you're, you know, having this conversation with, this staff member at your salon, also doesn't fully see the internal life of the person that she's put on this pedestal. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to humanize ourselves for each other so that we can come to a place of understanding that we, you know, each and every one of us has their struggles, you know, and that there's always space for us to come together in just mm-hmm. our humanness, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
But So do you, speaking of having a staff, so do you have a program for salon owners? Do you teach salon owners about how to communicate, leadership, you know, all of the things that you need to be to have a salon run well?
So what I'm doing now isn't necessarily geared towards anyone specific.
Okay.
So I was not the greatest salon owner. I was bad at like managing. I was terrible at like keeping everybody informed. I'm super sporadic. So like there was a lot of things that I didn't do that great, like structuring a salon like program. What I was really great at was bringing people together and making everyone feel important. I was really good at helping them to set goals for themselves, has something to strive for. I was really good at mentoring. I was not good at being a salon owner. That's why the way I have my salon set up now, I have two people who work with me and we all take care of our own stuff. And
that's great.
It's a great, great, great environment. But what I'm doing now is called mindset mentoring. And the way that it is right now, and this may expand and grow as everything kind of unfolds this year for me. But right now I'm doing one-on-one mentoring.
Okay.
So what that kind of looks like is very like me, sporadic. It's all in the moment. So each person that I've mentored and I'm mentoring currently, we go through a very similar process as of what we're doing right now. And, it's through meditation, it's through energy work, it's through reflection, it's through a lot of diving deep in a really safe place to help them discover what they already know. Yes. Because I truly believe that. I think that we all are just on this journey of relearning what we already know. And so it's been really beautiful working with some of the hairdressers that I've worked with to see them really step into their power.
Yeah.
And be able to own what they really want and stop putting limits on what that can look like.
Yeah.
So I've got some people that are starting businesses that are opening salons. Maybe that's their dream. That's kind of where we always start, is about intention. What is your intention in this industry? What do you want out of it? Do you want to be a podcaster? Do you want to be an educator? Do you want to be a platform artist? Do you want to be a salon owner? Do you want to work by yourself? You know, do you want to do online education? Do you want to just make enough money so that you can work 4 days a week and be with your family the rest of the time and have more time to do that? Everyone is different.
And isn't it amazing that we have all of these opportunities in this industry and yet we still feel like we have to charge $25 for a haircut and $5 for a trim?
Yeah. It is.
Sorry. Okay. Go on.
And that's a big part of, you know, cause I've gone through that journey myself. I raised my prices 50% in the last 2 years.
Nice.
And it was not easy for me to do.
Yeah.
I had the same thing that everyone will come to me and say,
yep.
I'm afraid that everyone will leave me. I'm afraid that, you know, there's not enough people to pay that price. I'm afraid that, you know, blah, blah, blah. I won't be able to pay my rent because I lost too many clients. I'm afraid of they're going to say something mean to me, which I got one of those emails too. It's fine. Like you have to be prepared to own what you're going to put out there, you know, and if you're worth it and you know, what defines, are we worth it? Our belief that we are. So amen. If you believe that you're worth $100 haircut, you better be putting out $100 haircut. But charge $100 if you think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't charge $30 just because that's what everybody else in your city is charging. I probably charge, I would say, I really don't know everyone's prices around, but I would say at least $20 more than the highest person in probably a 60-mile radius.
Mm-hmm.
Than anyone else. And I have an overflowing full book.
Yes.
And I don't ever think that what I charge at the end of my appointment isn't worth that. Because yeah. I pour everything into it.
Right.
When I am there, I am fully present. I am there for that person. I'm there to make sure that I'm here to make sure my skills are top notch.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't just half-ass anything. Capricorn.
Right, right.
We don't half-ass. No. No time for that. So I think that that's a big part. And, you know, this is a big part of why I've wanted to do what I'm doing is not to go tell everybody you should charge $100 for your haircut. Because let me tell you what, not everybody should. But to empower you to believe that you can be worth that.
Yeah.
And to help you to see that there's a lot of work that has to be done to own that. You
yes.
know?
The mentally, responsibility. Yeah.
Physically. Yes. The responsibility to own that, you know, it's like
yeah.
growing your vessel, expanding your mind. You have to be able to hold that space at that next level or else you're going to fall right apart.
Well, and that's a really good point when it comes to, you know, what I am attempting to open, you know, people up to is understanding of, you know, how do you hold that presence? You know, what have you done to create that presence? And if you think that no breaks, drinking coffee all day, never taking time for yourself or, you know, to even process what happened with the last appointment. You know, it's like there's no space for you. How do you think you're going to be present enough to be mm-hmm. fully engaged, fully you, fully in the craft, fully, you know, available to listen to what that person actually wants you to do with their hair in the first mm-hmm. place?
Mm-hmm.
You know, these questions have to be asked from the very beginning.
Yeah. You know, and I don't think that there's a one size fits all answer.
I agree completely.
I think that I really think that everybody works and operates at a different way. Some people need 2-hour time block to be able to dedicate to one service. They want to sit down in the middle of the appointment and they want to talk with their client.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to take it slow, maybe have 15 minutes in between. And that's what that person needs. I'm not that way. I need to be, I need to be engaged because if I slow down too much, I lose my momentum.
Mm.
So I like to be operating at a pretty high capacity, but I've figured out what's too much and what's manageable.
Yeah.
Like I know people like, do you know Daniel Mason Jones?
No? I don't think so.
So I met him this last year and he's really, really cool. Incredible person, great speaker, amazing business owner. He operates at like level 1000, but he loves it when he's behind the chair and none of his clients probably would ever feel like they're missing his presence.
That's amazing.
So it's really just, but whenever he was talking about what his book looks like, I was like,
no way,
not for your girl. But I admire that's his method.
Yeah.
And he's figured out a way to maintain presence in the midst of a very fast paced day.
Wow.
That's not something that I can do.
Right, right.
I need to be able to have enough time to take it slow. I need to eat. I can't not eat. I've done yeah. those days are gone.
Yeah.
But really I think it looks different to everyone and how capable you are of maintaining your composure. Believing in your technique, you know, I would say when you immediately start doing haircuts on the floor, your haircuts aren't probably going to be as effortless as maybe somebody who's been practicing it for 10 years.
Right.
You know, and that comes with time, and it also comes with just practicing the stuff on the inside. You've got to practice being able to shut down your little voice inside your head that mm-hmm. when you're really anxious meeting a new, your whole day is new clients and you're meeting a new person after new person. Like, that's a lot of new energy. That's a lot of being able to get out of your head and be in the moment with a person.
Yeah.
Than if every single person you see now, like I do, I've known for years. It's very different.
It's so different. I think that's why we're doing our students a disservice by not giving them a little bit of a peek into what that first year or two looks like, yeah. you know, building a clientele.
Mm-hmm. And just giving them these tools like mindfulness and mm-hmm. meditation and mm-hmm. teaching them ways to stay grounded and in the moment and not be so hard on yourself.
Yeah.
But also taking things seriously, but not taking yourself seriously. That is something I've had to learn a lot is, you know, not take myself so seriously because I could be the worst critic on myself.
Yeah, I know, me too.
Beat myself into the ground for not doing something good enough. But you have to take your craft seriously. You have to take your job seriously. It's a big responsibility that we have.
I think that's, you know, part of what I wish was just a little bit more available, you know, to students going into it. I know that I really would have loved to have had a mentor that helped me understand, you know, the actual act of transformation that's happening, you know, translating the vanity, you know, all the things that I talk about, translating somebody's vanity into mm-hmm. beauty and really helping someone know that it's not just them, because I think we do take responsibility, but almost to the codependent side of things where it's all on our hands, all our fault or not our fault. You know, it's this inequality of ego versus taking things personally, that there's a relationship that you're building with someone where you have to have the right communication.
Mm-hmm. Yes, communication skills are huge. And that's something that I do teach in my conscious hair coloring class. Mm. It's such a fun class. It's a 7-hour hands-on coloring class. But we started off with a guided meditation and thought awareness to get everybody on the same page. So everybody's feeling really like uncomfortable and also just very vulnerable. Yeah, it's really fun. And then we do some intention setting. So like, what do we even want out of the day? What do we want when we're behind the chair? How do we want to feel? What are we going to use to remind ourselves? So we create a mantra for ourselves. Oh, everyone does this kind of independently. And then we do some hair coloring. And right now I'm teaching some things that I created that helped me to have fun doing hair because I got really bored for a while and I was like, bleh, I'm kind of bored doing hair. Mm. And so I started creating some things where I can just express, and it's a really, really fun way to just intuitively color hair in a way that's really impactful and makes people look more youthful and natural. And then we also do communication skills. So we do, three steps to introducing a new skill. So if you're going to go learn something from a class, you've got to be able to present it in a way that's, you know, they know what you're doing, why you're doing it, how you're going to do it. So they feel super comfortable. They don't ever have to question, like, why did you mix up another bowl? Well, why are you doing that? Well, what's happening? And my other person's never done this to me before. And they feel uncomfortable.
Right.
You know? So we do do that, and
it's awesome.
So a lot of that kind of stuff. Gosh, I know. I need like 15 businesses so I can just share everything, but it sometimes gets all over the place.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that, you know, more importantly is that your intention is to grow people, you know, into the better version of themselves, and mm-hmm. and you know, to be multi. It, you know, we are multifaceted creatives. So you can't contain that. And if you do, you know, we know what can happen. And Brené Brown says it so beautifully. Unexpressed creativity is not benign. It metastasizes into grief and anger and depression and rage. You know, so, the more expressed, the better. Knowing that we need to do that is the first step in challenging ourselves to just step out of the box and help that fluidity of creativity, you know, come to the surface in different ways. So as long as you're just giving them the opportunity, I mean, your example is just bright, you know, so fucking cool. Why not try it? Thanks. Why not do it? You know, again, like, if not now, when?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so fun. I love being a hairdresser. It's so fun.
Well, I mean, it really, I think now is just such an incredible industry to be in. It's also very interesting to see how many different types of hairdressers there are out there now. Mm-hmm. In consideration to when I started 20 plus years ago. And I feel like finally there's a place for the people who call themselves hair healers or who want to be acknowledged for, you know, doing more than just a haircut behind the chair. Mm-hmm. You know, the beauty of being able to really acknowledge that there's much more of all of us going into the work.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so cool that we have these ways to connect and network and communicate with each other so that we can share what we learn. You know, this is a interesting space to be doing healing work, yet it's the most relevant. Like, it makes so much sense. But you've got to learn what that looks like.
Exactly.
You know, there's no Reiki school for hairdressers. Maybe, well, now we do. Andy kind of has that.
Right? Totally.
It's so cool that we're being able to introduce these kind of skills. And that's one of my my huge passions and definitely the platform that I want to connect with hairdressers most on right now in my career is just sharing ways to be more mindful as a hairdresser, ways to keep yourself on a path that is going towards the end result and not just staying stagnant. There's nothing, for me, there's nothing worse than staying where you are. Yeah. I can't stay still because I'm not moving forward or backwards. And that's where I feel like I am not creative and I start losing my passion. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like there's any reason, there's anything wrong with going slow, or you can go real slow. You can go like turtle slow, like crawling slow, but you got to move. And it's an interesting thing to explain because when we're talking about energy and we're talking about the metaphysical, it's not something that you can show in, hair painting. You know, I can be like, this is balayage, hair paint, brush, hair, swipe, there you go. It's like, how do I open up my heart? How can I get more connected and rooted to community? How can I open up my higher consciousness to allow messages to flow through me so I'm not trying so hard? Mm-hmm. I'm just being. And those are the things that I think are really going to revolutionize the industry and also the world.
Exactly. And what we do individually affects the whole. And if we can constantly, you know, remember that, and it's, again, it's like going back to taking responsibility. And, you know, that might seem like a lot, but at the same time, we're in it together. If we believe that we are working towards, you know, an enlightenment and an inclusivity and, you know, equality and limitlessness, just to support each other in that. I mean, I love social media. It's a blessing and a curse, you know,
yeah.
But I wouldn't know you
and I wouldn't have the opportunities that I do to connect with the people who I need and need me.
Absolutely.
So speaking of, people can find you.
Yes. On my website, www.kellymason.com. That's kind of a landing page for all of the things I have.
Mm-hmm.
Podcast is on, I think, 10 or 12 different platforms. You can iTunes, Spotify, Anchor, whatever you listen is Limitless Hairdresser. Limitless Hairdresser on Instagram. It's just Limitless Hairdresser. And I'm on Instagram too. So @_KellyMason_. Yeah. You can shoot me an email anytime. KellyMason@KellyMason.com.
And remind me where, remind us where you are on the map.
Geographically, I am in Midland, Michigan. So if you hold your hand up, like your left hand up, and you stick your thumb out, and you go to about your right knuckle, I'm right there by the bay.
By the bay. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And your salon is?
Lux the Salon. And that's also on Instagram.
Okay, cool. Just so that if people in your area are listening and they might have a desire to see where you're at, whether it's a client or a hairdresser, definitely.
Yeah.
I'd be wanting to work there.
Yeah, we've hosted two classes at my salon now. We did a 2-day workshop with my class Beyond Business, which is what I created for kind of off of Limitless Hairdresser. It's thought choice, thought awareness, meditation. We do yoga, eat yummy food.
Love it.
So we do that. And then I have conscious hair coloring as well that we've hosted. So come hang out.
I love it. I just, knowing that you're out there doing your thing always makes me feel better. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for taking the time today too. I know you had a busy schedule. Sounds like there's a lot going on and now you have a computer to fix.
Oh God. Yeah. We'll figure that. It's all figure outable. It'll be fine.
Yes. Well, thank you again. And I hope to see you face to face in the nearer future than the next. So.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you so much, India. You're amazing.
Thank you, sweetheart. Have a great rest of your day.
Thanks. You too.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining me for this conversation with Kelly Mason. If you want to find her on the gram, she is _KellyMason_, and that is Kelly with an I, K-E-L-L-I. And you can find her at kellymason.com. If you happen to be at ISSE this weekend, you can also find her there. Keep an eye on her through the gram. And on a different note, I want to invite you to Los Angeles. I will be with the House of Collaboration in Los Angeles, March 3rd and 4th for the Balayage Summit. And you can find out more about that at haircolorist.com. And if you have any questions for me about it and tickets and what that includes, you can always reach out india@indiadunn.com. You can find me on the gram @indiadunn_and_co. I hope you have a great day.